Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea, our regular guest. But before we talk to John, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And John Shea joins us from Atlanta, Georgia, as the hot trip continues for the San Francisco Giants. First, they were in Texas where it was steamy. And I can only imagine, John, it's probably hotter in Hotlanta. I mean, it's probably more humid. It's not going to get easier for the Giants as they are in Atlanta and then they go to Chicago.
Texas wasn't that bad, all things considered, because the humidity wasn't so high. But it's expected to be pretty bad in Atlanta and then in Chicago. This is August in Texas and Atlanta and Chicago. It's going to be a wacky August for these guys because they play a whole bunch of teams who are either in first place or challenging for a wild card other than Atlanta, other than Texas. But after that, it's going to be a real tough road. It opens up a little bit in September when they play just the Dodgers as a contender, and all the other teams are in their division or the A's or Reds.
So this could make or break the Giants, really. And one thing they can't afford is to have more injuries because, you know, it seems like they already got past the tough part of the injuries when they lost Hunter Pence and Nori Aoki. And now Joe Panik has this back issue. And as we do this podcast here on Monday morning, we're not sure if he's going to go on the disabled list, but it's definitely been bothersome for him. Have you talked to Panik? And, you know, how much is this really bothering him?
I did. You know, it's a funny story. Not so funny, but after the game in Texas, the series finale, I went up to Joe, and he just didn't want to talk at all. And I kind of gave him a little bit of breathing room. And then the other writers came along, and he kind of realized he had to say something. He was really bummed. I've never seen him so frustrated. He loves the game of baseball. He loves to contribute. He loves to be part of a winning atmosphere. It's kind of him, and it's really noticeable. So when he's sitting on the bench and watching other teams, other players, and, you know, they come off a loss, which was the Sunday game.
Right.
You know, it's a bummer. And so finally he got to talking about it, and he admitted he was frustrated. He admitted that waiting two games, he sat out a couple of games at the end of the homestand, really didn't do anything because the lower back tightness flared up again. It was very noticeable Saturday, so Bochy sat him out Sunday, said there might be tests Monday, the first day in Atlanta, and who knows? Yeah, the DL is definitely possible. It's not like they have a whole lot of depth. I mean, this is an all-star up the middle with Crawford and Panik. Adrianza plays second base. Bochy even said, hey, he could run Aoki out there. I looked it up. Aoki has never played second base in his major league career. I talked to some Japanese writers. He said he played only a little bit in Japan. He's not the guy you want at second base. That's an emergency situation. So I think that this team needs to still bulk up for the postseason run here. Yes, they got Mike Leake. No, they didn't help the depth on the infield. And that is a key issue. They got Aoki back, so now they have four starters plus four outfielders plus Maxwell. So you really need another guy. Whether Zobrist would have been perfect. Obviously, he could play the infield or the outfield. But if they can get a poor man Zobrist, somebody like that, maybe now they're talking. Now they can afford to maybe have a guy miss a few games here and there. But right now they can't.
Yeah, I haven't seen how Kevin Franzen is doing at AAA, but he's a nice guy to have stashed there. I mean, maybe they bring him up at some point.
Yeah, that's a great call. Who would you rather have, Adrianza or Franzen? in the heat of a pennant race? Well, we saw, four or five rookies on last year's team down the stretch and into the postseason. And most of them contributed quite a bit, obviously Panic being one of them, and Strickland. And across the board, they had, five guys. So it's not out of the question for Adrianza to contribute here. But maybe Franzen is a guy that they can rely on just because he's been around a little bit longer, and maybe that's what they need right now.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Today's interview is being sponsored by Toscalito Tire and Automotive. You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide guarantee backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Giants games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. No torture at Toscalito Tire and Automotive with 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Now, you mentioned Aoki, and he was involved in a play that was pretty interesting at the end of that series there in Texas on Sunday. I mean, the Giants made a great comeback and won on Saturday. They almost came back again on Sunday, and Aoki was held at third base on the Buster Posey base hit. And for me, as I looked at it, to me, it was a no-brainer that you hold him up. It was a one-out situation. You've got Hunter Pence coming up. You know, hopefully he could do damage. And it turns out he hits into a double play. But apparently, from what I heard, some folks on Twitter were really debating this, whether or not Aoki should have been sent. You know, after the fact, you look at a throw, it was airmailed from left field. But at the time, I don't know that you send him. I mean, and this is the kind of thing that happens when you're in a pennant race. Every game, every spot like that seems to be magnified.
I don't know what it looked like on TV, but when you're there and you see it all play out in front of you, I think it was the right call to hold him. I mean, he would have been out with a good throw. You didn't even need a great throw, but just somewhere in the vicinity would have gotten him at the plate. Hamilton was a little bit shallow. Aoki was coming around third, but there was one out and Pence on deck. The chances of him hitting into a double play with his speed are not great. And that's the only thing that could have gone wrong in that situation. And it did. He could have gotten a fly ball. A sacrifice fly would have tied it.
Right.
Base hit. He's very good in the clutch. He's the guy you want there. Now, if there are two outs, maybe Roberto Kelly has a different idea and he sends him. And Roberto Kelly, he's replacing a pretty popular guy here in Tim Flannery.
Right.
He was a darn good third base coach, not just, good guy all over the media, accomplished musician. As soon as he showed up, they started winning World Series. He came along with Bochy. So he was a beloved character and a very good third base coach. He had done it for years in San Diego before joining the Giants. And for Kelly, it's somewhat new. He's learning on the job, and it's not a great place to learn in the big leagues. He's done it a little bit in the past, not much. So he has had some mistakes. He made contact with a player. He
right.
waved guys in he shouldn't have. He held guys in. He held guys at third he shouldn't have. And he's gotten better, but I don't think that could be considered a terrible move because considering how many outs, considering who's coming up, and considering a decent throw has him, I just think if all these people blaming Roberto Kelly for the loss were actually at the ballpark, they might have had a different feeling.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was pretty much a no-brainer as I watched it on television. The Mike Leake trade, he performed well on Sunday, didn't get the win, but pitched well. They trade Adam Duvall away, and he was tearing it up at Triple-A, but, he never proved himself at the Major League level. Kiery Mea, I saw him pitch at San Jose, and he's got a really good future, so we'll see. But Leake, what do you think about this trade? Do the Giants have to sign him long-term to make it worth it? I mean, is it worth it to have him as a rental here down the stretch?
If Mike Leake leaves after 2 months, it's still a good trade. Duvall wasn't going to play. Mea, he's 22. It's a long-term situation. He wasn't going to join the rotation anytime soon. So it's the kind of player you have to give up on. They still have their first-round draft picks from the last couple of years, both starting pitchers. So they're good in terms of depth in the minors. We'll see. I mean, you never know, really. The prospects are just that, prospects. But when you look at what the Giants have now, a veteran team looking to finally win or at least get to the playoffs in an odd year, this is the kind of guy they needed. It would have been better with Cole Hamels. Now you have two aces, two left-handed aces. And so I still don't know who's the true number two guy. Is it Leak? Is it Heston? Will it be Kane? Peavy has pitched well lately. So maybe you're looking at a whole lot of threes for now. But you can't have Madison Bumgarner dominate the postseason two straight years and have everybody else go four or five innings. That just can't happen again. The odds are against it. So Heston has been fine, but he's a rookie. He's never pitched beyond August as a professional, other than a game or two with the Giants last year, but not as a starter. So this is all new territory. We don't know how Peavy is going to react. And Kane has been very inconsistent with his velocity and command. So he's right now the number five guy. And we have Tim Lincecum waiting in the wings. He's thrown five times on the side. That might be more of a September addition. And we have Vogelsong, who's looked kind of good in relief. And so they're deep, but who's the number two? Leak pitched well in his debut, two runs, pitched into the seventh inning, hung a curve to Hamilton, two-run homer. They lose 2-1. So he's a good teammate. Everybody seems to love him. Pence and Posey were raving about him after the game. Posey likes him especially because he's such a fast worker. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball and throws it, gets the ball and throws it. And Posey even told me that what he needs to do with a guy like that is not wait around to figure out what the next pitch is. You got to be ready to call the pitch because right away he's going to look in for the sign. So he's good in that regard. Defense loves to play behind him, though there are a couple of iffy plays by the outfielders that almost cost him. But I just think that a sinker ball pitcher in San Francisco versus Cincinnati is going to be a good thing. And he's been really hot. He had a great July, had won his last four starts, 0-6 ERA. So, you know, the time for him, you know, time is right. And it's not about, well, you know, what about Duvall? What about the other guy? It's not about that at all for a team that has serious hopes for October.
Seems like Posey has to act like an NFL offensive coordinator in the hurry-up offense. That's what he's got to do. He's got to put those signs down quickly. Tim Hudson seems to be the lost man here. He has handled this so well. I mean, I don't think you expected any different from Tim Hudson. He's a class act. We always knew that. But there are some pitchers out there that might have created a problem, you know, sort of an attitude problem, maybe if they were younger as well, because he knows he's at the end of his career, and he already won the World Series last year, but he's kind of waiting in the wings. Do you see a role for him here down the stretch? Does he become a reliever? He hasn't done that in his career.
He just might join Lincecum as when it is 40-man roster time, September 1st. And how about that? What a bullpen full of long relievers.
When we
talk about Hudson and Lincecum and Vogelsong, and you know Petit is still down there. And we'll see if Kane lasts in the rotation. I imagine he will, but maybe one of those guys would replace somebody because right now it's all about winning. Bochy can't play favorites. He can't say, well, we're hoping he's going to come around. He's got guys on deck waiting to start, and that's a really good thing. But Hudson, yeah, he's 40. He has a ring. He's obviously a good teammate. Nobody has accused him of anything else. And he's been that way with the A's. He was that way with Atlanta, and he's now that way in San Francisco. So he saw the writing on the wall. He stepped aside. And just a funny scenario, the day that they brought in Leak, I kind of asked him, I said, well, what is your injury? And he says, you know, what do you want it to be? You know, we'll call it any, you know. And then he said, he finally says, well, my shoulder's been acting up. You know, everything's been acting up for him, right? And he said, we'll go with that, strained shoulder. So they put him on the DL with a strained shoulder. And I'm not quite sure if that's legit or not, but when you're 40 and you can come up with any number of ailments, I guess it's okay. And he is not shutting it down. He's still throwing. He's going to be ready if needed. He'll be available. But I think the days of Tim Hudson starting for this team are over. So it's a nice golden parachute. By the way, isn't it funny that, boy, what a heroic thing. What a great thing. What a great teammate. Well, he's making quite a bit of money. It's right. 2-year, $23 million contract he signed. He's making $13 million this year, so it's not like he's unemployed.
Right. But you still might hear complaints. Even with the big money, you could hear complaints from some players. You never know. So the Giants get Leak. Other big trades around baseball saw Cole Hamels, as you mentioned, going to the Rangers, David Price, Troy Tulowitzki to the Blue Jays. So, you know, the Dodgers didn't get any of those guys. They ended up going ahead and trading with the Florida Marlins and getting Matt Latos. But with the Dodgers not making a big, big move and the Giants getting Leak, how do you think it all played out as far as, you know, the Giants and the trade deadline? Maybe if you could grade it out and say, you know, did they finish up, you know, as well as you thought that they would at the trade deadline?
Well, they did get Latos and Wood, so they got their four or five guys, whatever you want to call it. They didn't get Hamels. They didn't get Price. They didn't get Cueto. They would have obviously wanted one of those guys. There was talk before the deadline, hey, the Dodgers might get two of those guys. But the thing is, they got so much money. They kept all their top prospects. This is like they dealt like they were an NBA team. In other words, we'll take this guy, but for us to get that guy, we're going to have to also take this guy who we won't use. We'll pay off his contract just so this – like Michael Morse. They have no intention of holding on to Michael Morse, so they just designated for him assignment. He goes elsewhere. You know, but the guy, they get the guy they want. So it's a weird way of operating. But what they do is you know, forget the money, bring in the tested players, and we're making so much in TV revenue, and we're the Dodgers, we're the bullies of baseball, the modern day Yankees. So we can do whatever the heck they want, and they do. So I think they're a better team. The rotation is deeper, but I also think the Giants are a better team with Leak. So I think neither team improved itself more than the other. So I think it's going to be real interesting these last couple of months.
Aren't they paying like a quarter of the salaries of the Marlins player, something like that? I mean, something crazy like that. I heard that they were paying like 25% of the salaries there in Miami.
Exactly. They're doing that. They're also paying $87 million for seven guys not to play this year.
That's incredible.
And so it's. I mean, one of them is Brian Wilson. Another is Morse, the Giants angle. But they've got so many guys, they just say, well, whatever. I mean, we'll just get rid of them and we'll pay them off. And it's just a funky way of doing things, but it's a modern world in L.A.
We'll get back to Atlanta to continue our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in just a moment. Giants fans are settling for nothing but the best these days, so if you're in the market for buying or selling real estate in San Francisco, you'll want the A-1 real estate agent. Well, at McGuire Real Estate, the top producer is Robert Merriman, and I encourage you to give him a call at 415-351-4698 or check him out at robertmerriman.com. Robert Merriman is opening doors for buyers and sellers in the city, and his excellent service is never discounted. Whether you're a buyer or seller in San Francisco, you need a creative negotiator on your team. Robert Merriman at McGuire Real Estate is the man for the job. Contact Robert at 415-351-4698. That's 415-351-4698 or robertmerriman.com. Let's talk about some of the animosity in baseball. And this is nothing new. It's been happening in the, you know, throughout the history of baseball. But on Sunday, you know, there were a lot of angry players on the field with the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game and Kansas City-Toronto. You know, they're throwing at each other. And if you go back to Friday, Madison Bumgarner yelling at the Texas Rangers, I wanted to discuss that a little bit because, you know, I think Bumgarner is above that. And I don't know that, you know, Bruce Bochy talks to him about it or if he learns from it, because he does get fired up at other players who toss bats, who flip bats. And I can understand when a guy hits a home run and he's showing you up, you know, then you kind of get it. But when a guy makes an out and he's mad at himself and he throws the bat down in disgust and you're mad at him for that, I don't know if that's taking it a little bit too far. And Bumgarner's a great guy. I mean, we love him. But it seems like, you know, he's so intense. Getting into it with the Rangers for that, I thought it was silly. What did you think, John?
And it's not the first time. Getting mad at a guy for making an out, and it's just a part of the game, the part of the culture you don't see in football or basketball, where every emotion is displayed in on TV in front of the crowd.
Exactly.
In baseball, you can't show your emotion. That baseball is coming at 95 miles an hour. Somebody can get hurt, and it's just not the same in other sports. When a guy gets mad at a guy who expresses emotion for making an out, that's a little different. It's as if Bumgarner is saying, "You really think you could have hit that pitch?" I mean, he's more old school than the old school guys. I mean, did Drysdale and Gibson do that? I mean, well, they probably didn't, because nobody flipped a bat when they made an out. They didn't flip a bat when they hit a home run. They didn't flip a bat.
Right.
Now everybody flips a bat on a foul ball. So it's. I mean, it's happened, what, three times this year? Going back, I think, Alex Guerrero, the Dodgers, Gomez when he was with the Brewers. And it's been noticed. So he's kind of building this reputation, maybe a wrong reputation. I mean, he's almost policing the game. But it, you know, it is old school. Nobody likes to show up the other guy. But the question is flipping the bat in frustration after popping the ball up, is that showing you up? You know, that's the question, and people are kind of confused about Bumgarner, because they're really upset anyway for popping it up, and now the pitcher is barking at you for being upset, even though you just made an out. So it's kind of a tense atmosphere when all that comes down, and I'm wondering if that'll change. I'm wondering if Madison will just kind of cool it with that. I'm guessing he probably will. He just maybe will keep it to himself a little bit more, but it's kind of a trend for him now.
It is. I mean, Delino DeShields had to be shocked. I mean, Adrian Beltre looked like he was going, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? And, you know, we saw it a few weeks ago. Remember in San Diego when Hector Sanchez hit that grand slam and he flipped his bat a little bit, and then he had a piece of gum thrown at him. I mean, I just think the pitchers are getting a little too sensitive at times.
Yeah, and the Sanchez bat flip wasn't at all like some of these guys. You remember, he had a concussion. He spent a lot of time on the DL. He worked his way back through the minor leagues. This was his moment. It wasn't a huge bat flip either, but it, you know, going back to Bumgarner, there was also a play in that inning that kind of ticked off Bumgarner when there was a real hard slide into Joe Panic, and we talked about his back issue. They cannot afford this guy to get hurt, and it was a hard slide. Was it a dirty slide? Well, probably not, but it was a hard slide, and Bumgarner noticed it because he's the guy who threw the ball to second base. And the guy broke up the double play. Panic couldn't get off the throw, but he got out of the way. And Panic didn't think it was a dirty slide. He said he didn't get me with his legs. He got me Odor, I think it was. He got me with his upper body, you know, because it was a late slide. He probably didn't even think that it was a hit and run, so the runner didn't think there was even going to be a throw. And when there was, he kind of slid late,
right,
slid hard, slid into Panic. And you ask Bumgarner after the game, he said, "Yeah, that was noticed. That was definitely noticed." So, yeah. So he kind of had some ammunition before that. So a lot of things play out, a lot of unwritten rules, a lot of stuff that maybe doesn't go noticed by the naked eye. Certainly is noticed by these guys.
Speaking of getting noticed, you win three World Series in the last 5 years. And you would think that you know everybody around baseball would pick you to come through down the stretch, but that's not always the case. I think a lot of members of the media, fans, I mean, you look at the trade deadline, who made the big deals, are those the teams that are going to be there? The Giants, I don't know, it's hard for them to always have the best as far as getting the credit. You know, they don't always have that credit that's being given to them for what they've done here in the last 5 years of being the team that comes through. Let's hear what an opposing manager had to say about this, though. As Craig Counsell, the manager of the Brewers, was in town, I had a chance to talk to him and listen to what he said about the Giants being the standard in baseball.
They are the standard in baseball right now, and nobody comes close. I really, you know, I don't think they have. They haven't had dominant regular seasons. I think that's why they sometimes get overlooked. But you know, 3 and 5 years. If this was going on in the NFL, it would be considered incredible. It really would. I mean, they would be Tom Brady. You know, somebody would be Tom Brady. There's no Tom Brady's on this team, and there should be. You know, Buster Posey should be Tom Brady, or Bumgarner should be Tom Brady, because that's what they've done. So it's impressive, and I think everybody that comes and sits in this locker room, you know, opposing teams that play them has an enormous amount of respect for, you know, not only what they've accomplished, but how they accomplish it.
That's great to hear, although I don't know that you want to be Tom Brady right now with the publicity he's been getting. but at the same time, I get that because it seems like it's true. The Giants don't get the credit that they deserve. I don't see them being picked as a team that's going to come through here in the last couple of months. Yet, you know, they have done it. It's there, and at least somebody on the other side has recognized that.
Yeah, well, a few things. The Giants are not, and never have been during this run, a wire-to-wire team. They don't dominate in the regular season. 2010, you remember, they won the division on the final day. Last year, they finished 6 games back of the Dodgers and got in through the wild card. You know, they finished second place. So the Dodgers did a whole lot more in the offseason, so they were the easy pick for first place. But it's, I mean, what he said is felt by many in the industry, but the Giants are never like a trendy team. Like a lot of people picked Seattle this year. The Nationals, of course. Those are teams that maybe made a lot of noise in the off season or have some big names that you know are on the verge of producing big. But the Giants just seem to be built for the postseason. They've always had enough pitching. They've always had just enough hitting. They always have good defenses. And they have Bochy, who is as good as anybody, maybe in the history of the game, in working a bullpen and doing it right in October, in the postseason. You know, Bobby Cox, you know, he's up there with Bobby Cox. He's already won more championships than Bobby Cox. But when you look at Cox, guys like that, La Russa, Torrey, they were successful over a longer stretch of time. All the divisions won by Cox, La Russa, you know, won championships in Oakland and then later in St. Louis. Before that, a run in Chicago. And Torrey, you know, didn't do great with the Cardinals or Mets, but then he was introduced to Derek Jeter, and then he won all the championships in the Bronx. But Bochy really didn't succeed on a consistent level. He got to a World Series. He won a couple of division titles in San Diego. But then Posey showed up, and Lincecum showed up, and Kane showed up, and I'm sure he's a much better manager now than he was in San Diego. It was a learning period for him. I'm sure he's much more confident. I'm sure the players are much more confident in him, and you just don't bet against him in the postseason. So I think that's where he was getting at, but I can see reasons for people to say, well, they won the championship, let me pick somebody else. You
know, right.
You don't always want to pick the team that already did it. You want to be a little more original, and maybe, you know, we're guilty as sports writers or people who do these things to just say, well, I'm going to pick the dark horse because in October I can say, hey, I picked that team. but it's tough to bet against the Giants, even if it's an odd number a year because they seem to be doing it again this year.
Well, I think it's always good to have something to prove, and it seems like the Giants do have something to prove because there is that perception, John, that the Giants won last year because Madison Bumgarner carried them, and there's a lot of validity to that. But this lineup is better. They have the best offense right now in the National League. The rotation behind Bumgarner, it's not anything that's lights out still. So it's still almost like, you know, Bumgarner and the other guys. And Bumgarner is not dominating, I don't think, this year. I mean, he's not a Cy Young Award candidate right now as we speak, I don't think. So, you know, that might be playing into it, is that, you know, the Giants do have something to prove.
Well, last year at this time and through the postseason, they didn't have Heston. They didn't have Kane. They didn't have Mike Leake. So the rotation is better. Crawford is having a much better year.
Definitely.
Panic, you know, before the back ailment is, well, an all-star. That's for sure. And Posey is going to be stronger down the stretch. Remember, I think it was no extra base hits throughout the postseason last year. He just didn't have his legs under him. But this year, because of the injury to Aoki, Belt played out there, giving him more opportunity to rest those legs and play first base. During the series in Texas, Posey got a game as the DH and went 3-for-4. And you always see him before the game so relaxed, and he's running in the outfield, and he's working on his flexibility, and he seems to be more willing to talk to people. But when he's catching, it's so much more businesslike. He's always looking in a computer, going over charts, talking to the pitcher, talking to the pitching coach. But when he's a DH or the first baseman, it's like a paid holiday. You know, it's just, wow, all I have to worry about is hitting. And he's such a darn good hitter, you sort of wonder what he could do in a full season if he just did play first base or if he was just a DH. But he's so valuable as a catcher. And so these are things that last year's Giants didn't have: arrested Posey and Heston, Kane, and Leake, and an improved up the middle with Crawford and Panic. So, it, you know, in that area, I think they're stronger. And I don't think they're going to go into October with just one starter dominating.
No,
so they can't.
No, they can't. And it definitely looks good. And by the way, Posey seems like every day he goes 3-for-4. It just seems that way. I know it's not true, but it just seems like he's going 3-for-4 every time you look up at the box score.
Yeah, and he didn't get any hits in the Sunday game until the last at bat. And oh, by the way, it's the ninth inning with the bases loaded. So now you get your hit. His problem is he only drove in one run instead of two, and they lost 2-1.
Exactly. Well, John, hey, thanks a lot for coming on, and have a good rest of the trip. Try to find as much air conditioning as you can.
Yeah, my pleasure, Joe. We'll talk to you next time in maybe improved conditions.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. He comes on every other week to talk Giants baseball here on thesportsvirus.com. Come back again on Wednesday. We are scheduled to talk to Larry Kruger from KNBR in San Francisco. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.